afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of EloquentOnline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, and a long, long swim through the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean on any of your finer Caribbean cruise lines. Back after 2 weeks, Mr. Dr. Troy Hall. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Hey, it is doing great, and I am so glad to be back with the Power of Performance.
Yes, and I told the studio audience not to clap. Why do they like you so much better than me? They spend all their time with me. Why would they like you?
Because, Jason, as I've told you before, you gain more support with sugar than you do with vinegar.
Well, I'm probably the vinegar guy. Hey, folks, it is April 15th. This is the Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, what if your brand were a band? Would you leave the audience wanting more if you were South Carolina Federal Credit Union, if you were Eloquent Online, if you were XDI, xraydeltaindia.com? It's right there on the episode page. Just check it out. One of the coolest brands in the credit union marketplace with a very, very, very cool option for you. If you don't want to do every single conference you did last year, but you still want to network and meet credit union people from all over the country, maybe bring back a check for $10,000 for the charity of your choice and have a lot of fun in a beautiful part of Southern California in August this year. Check out the website, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting? Well, we keep leaving them wanting more. Hey, man, what would you say your big takeaway was from the cruise? Did they leave you wanting more? Would you go back to that cruise line?
I would. You know, it's the one thing about any type of excursion like that where the service is really the repeat business is all predicated on the service. I mean, you can go into multiple places and get exactly the same thing, much like the way our industry is today, much like the way the credit union, a financial service, full financial services, people can go into any location and get just about the same product. But what keeps people coming back is the way they are treated, the way they are connected. I have told people 100 times if I've told them once, we are a relationship industry. Do not forget it or you'll end up like Kodak. You'll end up selling cameras, film, and paper, and you'll forget that you're the keeper of memories. And as a result, that's what credit unions have going for them, is that strong relationship and bond that they make, because the folks who are part of our industry are owners. There's a little different relationship. I was telling someone else the other day on how this actually works. I said, here's how it is. If you're the chef of a restaurant and people walk into the table, you're preparing food for those individuals who are your customers. But when the owner of the restaurant comes in and you prepare the food, it is a very different way that you go about it. So imagine now that what you are is the chef of your company, and you are presenting to every single person as they are the owner, not a difference between customer and owner. And wow, does that make a huge difference in how you go about approaching your job?
Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. Well, listen, folks, since 1985, let that sink in for a second, 1985, not just before mobile banking and mobile apps.
I wasn't born
before, yet. Yeah, well, yes, well. Yes, well,
I was in high school.
I'm pretty sure you were born. But by the way, I got to tell folks, I was actually thinking about that today. I saw a thing on LinkedIn. It was like a meeting, and the people were all doing planking. And it was talking about make your meeting shorter by making everybody do planking. My first thought was there are probably a lot of people that, A, couldn't do that. But I played left field in my church softball team. And if you never played softball, you should know most of the balls get hit to left field. One of the things that Dr. Troy has done for me over the years has really motivated me to stay in good shape. Dr. Troy works out. He takes care of himself, and that's something he's passed on to me. But the other thing is, despite my best attempts to be cynical about it, there is a tremendous value to the credit union marketplace. There is something unique about it. Since 1985, our guest today, Mike Mercer, has been talking about that. When we had our pre-call this week, Troy, he spoke very, very eloquently about the need of credit unions, no matter how much stuff changes. With technology and everything else, never lose that sense of cooperation, never lose that sense of we're all in this together. And we always have a lot of fun talking to people like that, don't we?
Oh, we do, and gain a lot of insight. And individuals like Mike, and I know Mike, and I know his brother Paul, and so, you know, they're both committed individuals to the credit union movement. There's a lot of that, and you can gain from individuals who have that authentic and sincere, you know, backbone and core values to what we're actually doing. And so I'm really, really excited that Mike's going to be on the show today.
Yeah, I am too. Hey, folks, we are trying to get to all 50 states this year, which is tricky because we only do about 48 shows a year, but we're up to it. His name is Dr. Troy. He is back after 2 weeks. It's good to have him back. The studio audience, look at them. They're so happy you're back. I don't get any love from our studio. I'll tell you what, we're going to join Mike Mercer live from Georgia right after this.
Well, you know, when the first day I started, they put me actually on the teller machine, which was called a TC750. It was the only technology we had, and it was a machine that you had to press 17 buttons to process even a deposit to savings. And if you messed up one of those 17 buttons, it shook, then ding! Popped open and rejected you in front of everyone. So it was glorious.
We have a similar machine for Jason, but he doesn't have to touch 17 numbers for somebody to
be rejected.
Reject. So,
yeah, boy.
Much faster today.
That's right, live from the offices of the Georgia Credit Union Affiliates. His name is Mike Mercer. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
How are you two guys doing?
Sounds like we're
doing all your sugar.
Well. I don't talk about it a lot on the show, but folks should know Dr. Troy and I, we're friends. We're friends too. I've missed him. He's been gone for a couple of weeks on his one of many cruises that he's taken during the course of this show, but we're talking about you today. Hey, Mike Mercer, tell us about you and your career with credit unions.
Be glad to. Jason, I was supposed to be in a rock and roll band. In fact, I tried. In high school, we had a little rock and roll band, and I just discovered early on that I didn't have good enough talent for that. So I had to earn a living doing something, so I went on to college and then on to grad school, and I was heading to some facet of the for-profit sector. My goal was to get involved in finance somehow. I don't know if that would have been Wall Street or some big bank. You don't really know where you're going to end up when you're in college. But while I was there, I took a part-time job at a place called CUNA. I had no idea what a CUNA was. I had no idea what a credit union was. And I went out there and met with a guy that was glad to have me out, and I had come straight from the business school at UW, and I went in and I had my jeans on and my sweatshirt. You know how we dress in college, and he asked me, why you dress like that? And I said I wanted to be the first one here, and he said, well, that's good enough for me. Come on upstairs. It was about 5:30 in the afternoon on a Friday. The gentleman turned out to be Richard Ayers, Dick Ayers, who was the pioneer that got U.S. Central Credit Union started. Took me up into his office and put his foot up on the desk, and lo and behold, he had a cowboy boot underneath his suit leg. And he said, we got some part-time work we need some help with, and you be interested in coming out here? And I said, sure. And so I started working part-time for CUNA and their subsidiary ICU Services Corporation, and for their new project that they were working on at the time. This is in the late 1970s, called U.S. Central Credit Union.
Wow.
And I wasn't there long before he said, go on back to the business school and bring me three or four more. So I did that, and we got a group together, and we became sort of the core of the staff for the U.S. Central version 1.0. And I ended up having more fun doing that than taking classes at the university with all the fancy, for the time, whiz-bang stuff involved in managing investments. And so when I got done, I graduated. I interviewed up and down the East Coast, and as I was driving back to Madison, I decided that I wanted to ply my trade and do good things for people at the same time. So I stayed on with credit unions, and I've never been anywhere else.
Well, you know, Mike, the interesting thing about your story is that, you know, you really are in a rock and roll band, because we
yes.
use the medical metaphor a lot in our power performance. So little did you know that you've actually been a member of some sort of a band, whether it's a foursome, a threesome, an eightsome, a twosome, or whatever. I mean, you know, because what you do, you've perfected the craft of what you do in the industry. And I feel very confident speaking like that, because you and I have met before. You, I had your ear when we were talking about the Every Day is Bank Transfer Day program, that you had an opportunity to hear me talk a little bit about that. And, of course, I had the great pleasure of working with your brother, Paul. And like I said to you before, you guys are like the Mannings of the credit union industry, you know, between the two of you. So before I even go to another question, I just got to ask you, so, like, do you and Paul really compete, you know, for the success of what your leagues do and what you do for credit unions? I mean, do you guys get together around the table and kind of pal around and kind of then do one-upmanship, or how does that work?
Well, it could work really well, except that I discovered that he's 8 years younger, and the girls all seem to like him better, and that's a wedge between us that we're never gonna get past. So
I guess, and I'm much closer to my Manning scenario than I thought, because that's
pretty much
difference.
Before we go to the next, before Troy goes to the next question, Mike, that is something that we argue about on this show all the time. Who do the girls like better? It has been one of the great debates in the modern history of credit unions. We got proof right here. Look, listen.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
No.
Well, you can't tell.
I always appreciate the spirit by which Jason goes about this, because he is such a loser when it comes to this. But nonetheless, he still tries to play. I think it's great. So.
He's ahead presently.
And we're not asking. We never ask the guys. So just want to let you know, Mike, you're safe on that question. So you're good for that. But the real question I want to ask you is a much hotter topic, and that is how credit unions in Georgia did last year and what you think is going to happen for 2016 for that group.
Well, you know, we're a good 5 years beyond the Great Recession. Credit unions all across the country were rattled pretty good by that. Georgia wasn't the hottest of the sand states, but we had a fair amount of real estate speculation. So for the first time in a long time, Georgia actually experienced deeper cuts in employment than the average for the country. Credit unions weren't particularly affected by that. Their underwriting was pretty good going in. We didn't lose any credit unions to the recession, but we did lose 80 banks in the state, which was one of the highest in the country. And so we look back on that time 5 years ago and feel pretty good about how things are going today. You know, people argue about whether the economy is recovering quickly and whether jobs are being replaced fast enough. But for the most part, Georgia credit unions have been doing pretty good over the last couple of years. They've had a really strong loan growth over the last couple of years. Their bottom lines have improved pretty substantially, certainly since the time of the Great Recession. Capital is very strong across Georgia credit unions, and there's an awful lot of effort being put into attracting new members, and that's being met with considerable success. Probably the thing we worry about is that the big credit unions seem to be doing better than the small credit unions on average. There's exceptions to the rule in both camps, but when you look across the country, that's a phenomenon that really is fueling the consolidation. We don't see those trends stopping as we look forward into the future. And so we are, like many leagues, we are working on ways to help credit unions, but especially small credit unions, smaller credit unions, find ways to create attractive value propositions for their members so that they can also participate in the post-recession growth.
You talked about that in our pre-call. You talked about it very, like I said, in the early in the show, very eloquently. You said we can't lose sight of the fact that we're supposed to share information and collaborate. It's a cooperative marketplace. How do credit unions in Georgia and across the country, for that matter, because Georgia is a great example of the country, very diverse state, very dynamic state, big cities, again, rural, everything. How do credit unions improve the use of sharing ideas and information to keep the credit union marketplace strong?
Well, it's an interesting strategic question, one that we think about all the time. And there's a tension between growing awareness of my credit union's brand and my credit union's footprint with the other strategy that runs in parallel, which is basically how can we collectively make the credit union brand look better than the for-profit brand. And there's just no question when you look around the world, the credit union systems that have heavily emphasized the awareness of the broad credit union brand, they have a much deeper market share than we do here in the United States. They tend to look back into the United States and say, yeah, but you folks have a lot better innovation, a lot quicker innovation than we do, where local brand is sort of subordinated to the global brand. And so in this country we have credit unions that are working hard to build their own brands, their own awareness, and I think it creates a constant tension. You know the real answer is you can't do just one or the other. You have to contribute to both. And you know, we spend our time trying to figure out where's the right place to be in terms of what's the right balance between local and global brand development.
Yeah, and you know, in talking about that, I think back and forth to, you know, credit unions from an earlier time to credit unions today, and some of the things that are different between, you know, then and now. I had the privilege in January of meeting Bill Herring, Louise Herring's son. And, you know, we talked about, you know, part of the philosophies of the credit union movement, and through the credit union development education program, you know, we speak very strongly about the past and the pioneers, and Louise Herring being one of them, you know, developing 500 credit unions throughout the state of Ohio, where she's from. So, but speaking about that, what I wanted to draw a correlation to is, you know, she was able to do that without the use of technology and to, or with limited technology, not the high-speed technology that we have today. So if we fast forward to today and we talk about the fact that technology is significant today and the versus what it was before, what do you see, you know, maybe might be an advantage within the way we have our model, or with the way we in our model might be able to use technology that will, you know, catapult us maybe again, or maybe you see that it won't. So what's your perspective on that?
I think that you have to realize that credit unions were born at a time when consumers had very little power. They'd had very little access to information. It was really expensive to find out what the options were, and because you had to be in physical contact with somebody to do your banking services, they had to be nearby. And the
right.
Real innovation that credit unions had in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, was that they perfected banking at work, and they made it really easy for people to do their banking services at work. Today, you fast forward all the way to today, and we live in an environment now where consumers have all the power. They have access to information instantly. They can find out who has the best prices almost instantaneously. They can perform virtually all of their banking activities online or over the telephone, and the mobile device is more and more where that activity is going. So physical location doesn't mean what it used to. And so the big question today is how can credit unions become top of mind in the social media interactions that people have. If you look at young people today, they look to their parents for advice. They would never admit it, but they actually do.
Oh, they do.
They also look heavily to their friends for advice. And they don't look at traditional advertising the way they used to. And so I think credit unions, they're operating in an entirely different environment than was the case, an entirely different marketplace than was the case when credit unions were formed early on. So it's created a tremendous need to find ways to get more efficient and to embrace technologies. All of that's expensive. Scale matters. And so that's why if you're not talking about consolidation, you probably have to be talking about collaboration. And those are going to be key to success in the future.
Well, I'll tell you what, we talk about it on this show all the time. Dr. Troy calls them quote keepers, and I've got two really, really good quote keepers, and you just said one of them. It's either consolidation or collaboration. Just so great to have you on. I think we know when we want to do our Ohio show, we're going to have to get your brother on the air. But seriously, it was just so nice to have a chance to get to talk to you this week. I think that, again, Georgia, tremendous example of one of those states that you can look at. And if you're making strategic decisions, if you're thinking about where you need to go with your brand, it's a great case study. It's a very, very diverse and dynamic state. But we'd love to end the show on just kind of a personal question. When you're not working at the Georgia Credit Union affiliates, what kind of stuff do you enjoy doing just for fun?
I love to read. I read a lot of history and biography. I wish I had time for nonfiction, but I just can't get enough of history and biography. I love music. We have kind of set aside company picnics, and in return, we take our staff out to rock concerts, try to put them
cool.
in the presence of excellence. I enjoy watching sports. I used to like to play golf, but had a little bit of a back problem, and that's something I watch more than do now. And more than anything, I like hanging out with my kids and my grandkids. I got four grandkids now, and and I'm trying to train the two smallest ones to like their grandpa better than anybody else. And so far, I'm making quite a bit of.
It's great. The program is called Best Papa in the World, and you start by saying it in their ear when they're very little. You teach them as soon as you possibly can, when they want something, and you become the yes papa, and then you'll become the best papa in the world. So I'll just share that little tidbit with you in case.
Very good tidbit. Hey, Mr. Mercer, thank you so very, very much for joining us today. It was great getting to talk to you this week and getting to know you, and it was so nice to have you on the show. I'm going to add the website for the Georgia Credit Union affiliates to the episode description. Beautiful, beautiful website. Very, very nice. I saw it on my phone, on my MacBook, and on my iPad. And on behalf of Dr. Troy and myself, thank you so much for taking some time out to talk to us today.
My absolute pleasure. I hope you guys have another cup of coffee and move on to the next one.
That's
right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you.
And Dr. Troy and I will wrap it up right after this.
You think you got the best in me? Think you've had the last laugh? Bet you think that everything good is gone? Think you left me broken down? Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. What steps even lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, cause you're gone. What
right. Hey, listen, folks, think back to your last conference call, your last webinar, the last time you called a business and they placed you on hold. Did you get Kelly Clarkson as a bump? Dr. Troy and me, we play the best music in the credit union marketplace. Hey, Dr. Troy, your first thoughts about our great interview with Mr. Mike Mercer?
Well, you know, I'm a little biased because I've met Mike before, and I know, you know, his career, and, you know, having worked again, you know, knowing, you know, the commitment that he really has and his passion to, you know, to the industry, and specifically for his leadership there in the Georgia program. I mean, he's a great guy and great opportunity for credit unions to really make sure that they are partnering with a league affiliation where there's strong leadership. So, I mean, I'm sure there's strong leadership in a lot of other areas, but I know specifically about that one. And, you know, credit unions definitely need to make sure that they are tapping into those resources because Mike and his team do a great job out there.
Absolutely. We talked about it in the pre-show. The largest state east of the Mississippi River, Georgia. Folks, great, great place just to kind of see what the trends are, housing trends, banking trends, demographic trends. So it was so nice to have him on. Hey, man, after 2 weeks, it was so great to have you back. I'm glad you had a good time with your family. It seems like all of our guests place a tremendous value on that, don't they?
Well, it is, and we have a program here which we used to call work-life balance, and now we call it work-life integration. Because what we do understand as we see in the changing demographics is that it's not just about balancing, but it's about integrating. And so the tools and the technologies and having people being able to work remotely and to be able to work more at a time that works for them as well as what works for us in creating that proper balance. And not every position is going to have it, but to be able to recognize the positions that need to have it, that will help us recruit the talent that we need in order to do that, and to culturally understand work-life integration is a great place to be. And I applaud our talent acquisition and our HR areas for constantly be thinking ahead to this. And, you know, we are one of the 10 best places to work in the state of South Carolina, and we are very pleased to be one of the few credit unions to have won that award more than one time in the last decade.
And I'll encourage people to, if you follow our show and follow back the guests and the hosts and stuff like that, you can very, very easily on LinkedIn, Twitter, all the social sites, find South Carolina Federal Credit Union, the best dressed credit union in America, without a doubt. If your credit union is better dressed than South Carolina, send me a picture. I'll put it on the episode page next week. Nobody will send it because there's no way that you're going to find a better dressed credit union. Professional, blue, bright, listening, understanding, empathetic. Great, great brand. Check them out. Check them out. And absolutely right. Finding that balance. Hey, take a cruise with your family. Come back and keep life simplified, rocking and rolling. Big time shout out to our guest today, Mr. Mike Mercer. Big shout out to Allie Jackson at the Georgia Credit Union affiliate to help me get the show set up. His name is Dr. Troy. It is 11:29 Central Standard Time. Hey, man, have a great weekend.
Hey, you too, man. Take care. See you next week.
All right. Hey, folks, if it's Friday, it is the Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Today you heard exactly why webinars send us hate mail. Until next we speak, Dr. Troy and I will talk to all of you next week. Take care. Bye.
The end of the MFR, folks.